So right now we're talking to James Everest and Joel Picard. They comprise Blackfish, which is the musical duo accompanying the Thank You Bar at the Arrowhead Arts Center, performing this weekend. How are you guys?
Good.
Great.
Thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So we've got this thing coming up at the Arrowhead Center this weekend. It's kind of a dance music performance. How did you guys get involved with this?
Well, we'd both worked with Emily Johnson, the choreographer, previously on a project, but hadn't gotten to really delve in deeply to the collaborating with each other specifically. And so it was in the back of our minds, I think, for a couple of years, waiting for another chance to do that. And Emily had been writing some stories and learning about storytelling and really grappling with this idea of missing her home in Alaska where she'd grown up, and specifically missing her grandma's house, which was a roadside bar that had a jukebox with classic country music in it that was the soundtrack to her childhood. And at the same time, Joel had taken up the pedal steel guitar as an instrument and had started to really experiment with not just learning that, you know, the country music style and approach to pedal steel, but also all these other ways of creating sounds and textures with that instrument. And it was kind of the perfect thing that he was getting into that right when we were looking for a country music kind of flavor for this new dance piece that we were working on. And I've been Emily's music director for Catalyst since 2004, and so it just made sense. It was something we had been wanting to do, finding a way to work with Joel again. And so when the Thank You Bar started taking shape, it just made sense to have that be the new project with Joel.
So how did you guys start working with each other?
I think we first met for this project. We had a residency in Minneapolis. Did we have a couple of days there? So yeah. I flew from Portland, or I was in Seattle at the time, to Minneapolis, and we just got together for a few days, started talking about what it could be. We just played a lot. James and I played. Emily kind of worked through some things, some choreography and some stories. And we just sort of all were just throwing out ideas. And then we had a longer residency down at Mansi in Tallahassee. I think that was a 3-week residency. And that was really great because for us it meant 3 weeks in the same town with a beautiful dance rehearsal space to work in, you know, 24/7. And the show pretty much came together then. So all the little things that we had been tinkering with at the other short times we've been together really sort of grew then into what pretty much became the show.
And pretty early on, I think, in the staging of the Thank You Bar, we started to get really excited about having a surround sound installation aspect to the piece, where we had four speakers hung in four corners around the space, and having it be a black box theater type experience, but where the audience is actually in the middle of the space and the dance is happening around them. And we wanted the sound to do that as well. So from the beginning, we were creating, our palette really was this very broad surround sound kind of options for, and we were both playing through stereo amplifiers so that we could play with like a stereo panning, you know, moving the sound around a lot. And so we could start moving around the room. And so a lot of our process just involved, like, how can we move sound through this space, both in terms of through the speakers, but also as we started to create the dance and have the dance. And we started physically ourselves moving around the space with our, and moving instruments around and having it come from different places and different devices. And so that was really kind of that was the staging of it. It was a huge part of what our collaboration started to, how it shaped our collaboration, I guess.
Because early on, I think Emily, we all decided that, yeah, we should be playing right in the middle of the action rather than being off out of sight, off stage, or which is typical of maybe where the musicians would be. We were very much going to be a part of the visual look the entire time. So that also brought in then this other element of we're now in it in a different way than just providing sound.
So my understanding now is that you guys are in the center and everything else is happening around you. So you're just like crammed in the middle with a bunch of instruments?
We're not really in the middle. We're at the audience. The show starts with the audience facing us. So we're at one end of this, okay, of this rectangle, essentially. But throughout the show, we do end up moving off to different sides and different places.
Okay.
So really the audience is in the direct center and then it kind of works around them.
Yeah, and we just have our setup. I mean, essentially, Joel's set up at a pedal steel guitar, and I'm set up with an acoustic guitar, a steel string acoustic, and But we're running both of those instruments through a series of pedals and looping pedals that can record and replay the sounds that we're making and affect the sounds so that we can really build up a lot of different layers and textures. And we play the instruments not just with traditional picks, but with other ways of striking and creating sounds to just create a pretty wide palette.
And it's all improvised, correct?
For the thank you bar, it's not. I mean, we had an improvised, our process was very improvisational in terms of finding, you know, like, let's try something in this mood or in this vibe or understanding where Emily was coming from or what story she was telling. But once we had the piece, this dance piece is set down to every note practically and every detail is really pretty set. And it was kind of in that, once we realized that was going to be happening and that we were going to be touring for a couple years with this very set material, we were like kind of feeling like, well, but it's been so fun to improvise and to do this. The idea of touring for 2 years and always playing the exact same music just felt like we'd be, especially in this surround sound, amazing kind of space and staging, we'd be really missing something. So we thought, we tried at that very first residency, tried to doing a concert. We thought, well, let's just do a concert, an improvised concert where we can do this. And that went so well, and we had so much fun with that, that we were like, this is what, to keep this process alive as we tour the thank you bar, the dance piece with this very set material score, we would also offer a concert as part of each run, and a Blackfish concert. And we got this name Blackfish from the thank you bar. It's a story that Emily tells about a blackfish, and it just seemed to be the right way to refer to ourselves in the context of that story. And so we with that, so the Blackfish concerts are entirely improvised, kind of in the context of having so much set material.
All right, that makes sense. That was a good clarification for me, because I was wondering how Emily would be able to do all this stuff to completely improvise music, and it just... Mm-hmm. But that's really cool.
Actually, there was one section at the very beginning of our work on this that we did think we would have be improvised. And the first time we did it was great. This was in rehearsal. And the second time, it was just different, you know, because it was improvised. And it really, we realized how quickly that changed the entire mood of the thank you bar piece. And that's when we realized everything does have to be locked down, mm-hmm. which was the right choice.
Yeah, we opened the thank you bar with kind of an overture where we kind of introduce a lot of the sounds and themes that happen throughout the piece. And it really sets the tone, and it really sets the audience up for how to watch the piece. And we realized that the more we did it for audiences, that how crucial it was that we were really very intentional and specific about how we built the opening overture.
All right. So let's take a listen to kind of what Blackfish sounds like. This is from your first show in Tallahassee.
Yeah, the very first concert, and back in 2009. And this is just us improvising with the instruments we just described, and then a lot of I don't know. You want to say anything about that, Joel?
No.
All right. Well, here's a taste of Blackfish. We're speaking with James Everest and Joel Picard of the group. Take a listen. Thank you. So that was a taste of Blackfish, part of the Thank You Bar performance at the Arrowhead for the Arts Center at 7 p.m. and 9:30 tonight. And Joel, I'm really interested on what was making that kind of buzzsaw sound in that piece.
You know, I think that was actually me using a violin bow on one of the low strings on a pedal steel guitar. And I was possibly, this was like 5 or 6 years ago, I was probably sampling onto a little looping pedal and then speeding up the pitch, actually, and then turning it on or off with just a foot switch while spinning some plates and dodging bullets.
And Joel, you mentioned earlier that there's actually like a smell element to this performance.
James mentioned.
Yeah. Well, just, you know.
The thank you bar.
In the thank you bar and the Emily Johnson Catalysts are, we call them performance installations rather than, you know, just dance work or dance pieces, because they really are immersive, and it's really we really consider it that it's about the audience coming into a space and experiencing and being engaged on many levels, you know, on smell, sight, sound, and even taste in some cases, and really having like just a different way of kind of interacting with the experience.
So how does like having it in that black box theater add to the experience?
You mean for Blackfish?
Yeah.
Well, I think because that space that we've created for the Thank You Bar, which we then perform our concert in, because it's a large black rectangle that's very dark, we have really minimal lighting, and we have surround sound speakers, it's kind of you're sort of cocooned in this space, and we really try to use the most of it in terms of our sound ranging from very small and delicate to fairly loud and, you know, bombastic. We usually have like a couple subs, a subwoofer under the stage, so we get to kind of run the full range of frequencies.
And there's also, it's part of what was great about doing this whole series was of the Thank You Bar collection of these recordings and concerts was they were, because they were always performed in dance theaters and in dance spaces for largely dance audiences, we found that the audience was kind of receptive to what we were doing in different ways than just a straight music audience might be, where the gestures that we're using to create the sounds and the small details of nuanced kind of movement that was resulting in it was just as interesting or important as the sounds that we were creating with it, and or it was just interesting for people to follow that. And the Thank You Bar itself really sets that up, where people really can start cluing into these little details of how things happen in the piece, and whether it's how things are lit, or how sounds are made, or how a story is told. And so it just sets the audience up for a different kind of performance, which made it really exciting for us to improvise music in that way, where it wasn't just like, well, what song are we playing? It was very much about how are we going to create this next mood and this next movement.
And I think the other thing about these shows, the Blackfish shows, are that we pretty much play an unbroken set of music. We just start at, you know, at whatever time, and we play for 35, 45 minutes. Musically, things shift, but it's not like we play a song, people clap, we play another song, people clap. It's just one sort of continual long song.
Which is part of what's exciting, too, is when we do that, is it's the moments where it feels like things are congealing and becoming a thing are just as interesting to us as the moments where we transition and we figure out how are we transitioning from whatever that was to the next thing, and whether it's a dynamic shift of bringing something that was loud to being quiet, or from quiet to loud, or, you know, in terms of harmonically, or any of these the ways, it's really kind of a fun juggling act or just way to like really listen and pay attention to things and just see where it takes us.
I'm curious on what or who some of your influences were in making this this real ambient type of sound.
Well, in making the dance, the Thank You Bar, it really was about it really was an extension, you know, the Blackfish project was really an extension of that initial collaboration, where we were really figuring out like, wow, people are going to come in and they're going to sit down and they're going to watch this show. What is the sound going to do to that experience? Whether it's something that feels like a song, or whether it's something that feels like a sound, just real textural, and, you know, this is a piece that's referring to Alaska in a lot of ways. What does that sound like, or what sound would support that sense? And having a real, you know, definitely a cinematic feeling, or maybe a little bit transportive. And the Thank You Bar works a lot with memory. It's a lot of memories, you know, working with Emily's memories of growing up in Alaska. And so that was the world we were already in, and that's just kind of seemed to be part of how this extended from that, was those kinds of, that sensibility, I guess.
I think all of that is true. And I also think that for me, because I had started working with pedal steel guitar after having been a guitarist and done other, you know, played other musical instruments, I at some point really got into like 50s and 60s country music. So people like Ray Price and, you know, Jimmy Day, Speedy West, that kind of thing. So I was really trying to develop a playing skill to be able to cover some of that territory. But at the same time, my background as an improviser came from more of a sort of European, you know, 20th century music place, people like Derek Bailey or Fred Frith, people who were doing things that were coming after the notion of jazz improvisation, where you're playing chord structures and melodies. This was truly like almost a philosophical question of what does it mean to not have an idea of what music you're going to play after you make that first note. What's the second note? What's the space? What's the pause? As well as also certain technology was becoming more and more accessible in terms of having these little pedals where you could store 20 seconds or a minute of sound, and then you could manipulate it on the fly. All three of those things for me sort of were converging together to lead sort of in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have gotten the chance to meet or see Michael Monroe since he's been up here. He's a local musician, and he bases his entire sound over the looping foot pedals and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell me about all these albums that you brought in that have kind of like the digital clock face on them. So these are all live recordings of your different shows?
We did. So when we set up, when we started the Thank You Bar, we knew we were going to be touring, not consecutively, but we knew that we'd be going to Vermont for, you know, 2 weeks, and then we'd have a couple months off. Then we'd be going to New York, and then we'd have a couple months off. And so we knew that we had, I think, maybe 9 to 10 cities that were a part of this tour. So at that point, we thought, well, let's do a recording for each city, and we'll give it a number, and we'll name it after the city. So Houston became number 7. And we worked with a really great designer named Scott Ponick, who we both knew from Minneapolis. And he worked at the Walker Art Center. And he was now out in Portland, where I live. And he knew of this typeface by a woman named Na Kim that would allow us to, it's just kind of this empty grid that we could then put the digital number sort of on top of that. And we also knew we wanted to have letterpress. And so that was sort of how this all came about.
And it was, yeah, and we just, as far as the project itself, we just thought, wow, over the course of 2 years, we don't live in the same city, but we love improvising with each other, but we don't really get a chance to like rehearse or work on things, except we get together to do these Thank You Bar tours. And so the chance to get together and really just document this ongoing conversation is how we kind of felt like, you know, we're in this similar setup of the surround sound theater space. We're in, we have our similar instruments, you know, adding a pedal here or there, but now what do we do? You know, it's been 3 months since we did this. What influences have we been listening to? What directions are we going in? What new techniques have we been mm-hmm. working on? And so just over the course of a couple of years and in these different cities, this kind of ongoing thing just kept morphing. And, you know, knowing that we didn't want to repeat ourselves necessarily or kind of keep exploring something new was a big part of, you know, how that kind of moved forward.
And this could be a good segue for this next thing. But at some point, because I was playing upright bass in the Thank You Bar show, we brought that into, because it was sitting right there for Blackfish, we decided let's start using that as well. Meaning I could hook it up to the chain of sampling tools that I was using and use that within the show also.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned New York earlier.
Yeah, so the last show for the Thank You Bar was in 2011, I believe, in New York. And we finished, so we made a recording from that show, and that we're sort of premiering that recording tomorrow night when we play.
Yeah, so that was the number 9. So each one, there's the numbers. Blackfish 1 is Tallahassee. Blackfish 2 was Homer, Alaska. Blackfish 3 was Tulsa, Oklahoma. Blackfish 4 was Portland, Oregon. Blackfish 5 was Minneapolis. Blackfish 6 was San Francisco. 7 was Houston. 8 was Brattleboro, Vermont. And 9 was New York. And so from 2009, it's actually 2.5 years to 2011, was this ongoing kind of see what happens. And
was it really well received in Homer, Alaska, with the whole Alaska?
Actually, Homer was one of the places where we did 3 Thank You Bar shows, and every night, on 3 different nights, and every night we did a Blackfish show. We actually did 3. Wow, it was the one place where we did multiples, because they in Homer they just were so excited about having a music concert as well as the dance piece, and it was really exciting. And one of the things that we started doing, too, as we were in each city, was kind of looking for sounds that were unique to that particular tour stop, whether it was that town or that venue. And so when we were in Homer in Alaska, there was this bird that Joel was kind of intrigued by, that because we were right on the ocean there, and this bird was had this call that was really interesting, and Joel recorded it on his phone, and then would bring it back in the, you know, could play it back through the pedals and things. So there was another time in Houston, we the green room door to our dressing room had this amazing creak that was just really bizarre and had the most amazing long arc to it. And so we recorded that and brought that into that show. So each city kind of had something that was specific to that place's sounds. And I'd find little things that would make weird sounds in, you know, a hotel room or whatever.
All right. Well, let's take a listen to the number 9, one of the New York tunes here. This is Blackfish, and we're talking to Joel Picard and James Everest. Thank you. That was a little taste of Blackfish, and we're speaking to Blackfish right now. It's James Everest and Joel Picard. And just to get a little more background on you guys have other projects outside. James, you actually have a Minnesota connection, right?
Yeah. I was born and raised in St. Paul, over by the state fairgrounds, and still live in Minneapolis, and which is a great, incredible music community. It seems like it keeps spreading throughout the state. I mean, the state's always had great music, but lately, with what's happening in Duluth, and it just seems like there's just so much good music coming out of Minnesota right now that, on a national and international level, it's mm-hmm. really, really exciting time to be kind of part of it.
And so what are some of the other projects that you've been involved with?
Well, there's a band called Roma de Luna that I played in for a number of years, and that has kind of morphed into some other projects now. There's a great musician named, singer-songwriter named Toby Thomas Churchill, who's based in Duluth, and he had a band called The All Rights, and then now he's put out a solo record a couple years ago, and I started playing in his backing band for that, and now he has a brand new record that's actually going to have a CD release on November 8th in Duluth at the Red Herring Cafe on Saturday night, so I'll be there for that. And that's Toby Thomas Churchill with Dosh for that show, which will be really great. The rhythm section for Roma de Luna and Toby Thomas Churchill, we just play out as a trio called the Grave Trio and have different friends sit in with us and play with us at times. So,
I might have to pop down to Duluth for that because I'm familiar with Dosh too and I'm a fan of his work as well.
Yeah, it'll be a great night, actually. And the new Toby Churchill record is really crazy and great.
How about you, Joel? What other projects have you been involved with?
I have a solo record come out a couple years ago called Motel Chronicles. That's sort of a cinematic country noir soundtrack is kind of what I was calling it. But I do music for films and commercials. I just finished, when I go home next week, I'll be finishing a film for a feature film by director Joe Hubers, which came out of South Dakota. And I do work for commercial work for Showtime and HBO, that kind of thing as well.
Oh, cool.
So,
and your website is hatfarm.com.
Yep. No hats, no farm. It was one of those things where at some point I needed to have something. I just needed a name, and that sort of came to mind. And I do actually have saved on my voicemail a guy. A couple times this has happened where people call. They're like, "Yeah, I've got a hat that needs to be fixed. Wondering if you could fix it." And I wish that I could, but I don't.
That'd be quite the business.
I don't farm hats or fix them.
We do HBO promos and hat repair.
Yeah.
All right, well, now that you guys have mentioned that, I think we're going to play a couple songs. We'll have a Roma de Luna coming up here, followed by a little Toby Thomas Churchill with Happenstances. Actually, let's do that one first.
Oh, how I try not to die, and make the span of this life increase. And I tell myself to repel, I tell them to repel disease. And all my blood it flows, and it knows where it goes, through my heart to every part of me. Defenseless, yes, my senses then detect this, and I must adjust accordingly. An improvisational biological dance, freedom and chaotic subatomic predetermined happenstances. I wish my bones to be stones. I pray this frame would be steel. All my organ systems, organisms, I insist of them, there ain't nothing can't be healed. And I beg of my id to get rid of repulsive impulse and behave. For of course the body and the mind must be aligned, surely this will save us from the grave. An improvisational biological dance, freedom and chaos. periodic subatomic predetermined happenstances. I know my genes must intervene, must intervene. Dear God, spare me from my family tree. Leave in all the good if you could and if you would. Remove all the bad things from my sea. Oh yes, remove all the bad things from my sea.
Thank you.
So we just heard a trio of different songs there, some of the works of James Everett and Joel Picard, who we've been speaking with today. That was Joel Picard with Delano from the Motel Chronicles, Roma de Luna, which James was involved in. That was Porcupine from Then the Morning Came, and starting out this set, we had another one of James's projects and favorite new artist, Toby Thomas Churchill. That was Happenstance from his album Death. So we're just about out of time here, so why don't you give us a little recap of the different shows of the Thank You Bar and Blackfish? And also, I'm curious, this is the Thank You Bar, that's part of a trilogy of dances?
Yeah, we it's kind of funny. When we were here, the very first thing we did in Grand Marais with Emily Johnson Catalyst was we came up here last summer as part of the Grand Marais Arts Festival, the Art Colony. We were collaborating with them, and we spent a week in Harbor Park picking up trash and planting and weeding, working with the Garden Club and the Park Board. And I set up speakers, and so some people may remember that. We did like a sound installation out there, and then did a couple performances on the weekend where Emily told some stories, and we had like local folks participate as kind of doing a little bit of movement and a little bit of singing, and it was super fun. And that was actually the first residency for the third part of the trilogy called Shore that just premiered in June at Northrop down in Minneapolis. But the first part of the trilogy was the Thank You Bar, and the second part is called Nichugni, which is a Yupik word for pay attention or listen. And so we're actually excited because we're doing the Thank You Bar now, this weekend, tonight and tomorrow at ACA. And then in February, we'll be coming back to do the second part of the trilogy, Nichugni, which is more traditional seating and staging, where it's just the proscenium stage and the audience. But there are close to 50 fishskin lanterns, hand-sewn fishskin lanterns that hang above the stage and above the audience, and the lanterns above the audience actually have speakers in them, so there's a sound installation happening above the audience in these fishskin lanterns. So that's happening. The show's this weekend. Tonight there's two shows at 7 o'clock, which I think might be almost sold out, and then there's a 9:30 show tonight at the Arrowhead Center for the Arts, and then tomorrow there's a matinee, an afternoon show at 2 p.m. and then an evening show at 7 of the Thank You Bar. And then right after that last show is the Blackfish concert. That's open to anybody. If you've gotten a Thank You Bar ticket, it's free. And if not, it's just $5 for the Blackfish concert at 9. And it'll go about, like Joe said, about 45 minutes is about how long we play. So from about 9 to 10.
And seating is limited, I've heard.
It's limited for the Thank You Bar. For Blackfish, we can have more people in because we're not as concerned about people being able to see a dancer's feet. It's more just being able to listen and hear and see most of what's going on. So we can get a few more people in there. But advance tickets are really a good idea for the Thank You Bar.
All right. Well, I appreciate so much you guys coming in today. This is great. I love having live people on the scenic route. Anything else you'd like to add before we head out?
No, thanks so much, Will, for having us.
Thanks, right. Will. Well, like James said, it's tonight, and Blackfish is automatically free to go. If you like what you heard today, I sincerely hope that you check it out. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks.
So long.